Welcome to Car Free Conversations. This is a podcast where we talk about making the most of St. Pete without the use of a car. I'm Domenico Pontoriero.
I'm Sumitra Chandratreya.
We're your hosts, and today we are joined by Nathan Broomer. You are the City of St. Pete's LGBTQ coordinator, is that correct?
I am the new coordinator as of December 1st.
So what does that mean?
Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that role.
Well, so the city has a long history in having had that role for a number of years. So I'm replacing Eric Vaughn, who came in beyond Jim Nixon's time and tenure. And so my work is around both internal and external facing work within the city with over 3,000 employees, taking care of the environment that it is and its mission and programs as inclusive as they can be. And then working with stakeholders and community members on all the work that we do. So I think folks would probably initially jump to some of our great Pride celebrations. We've got Winter Pride around the corner in February, and we have St. Pete Pride with main events, of course, during June, but really year-round programming now with lots of great new initiatives coming under Bjor's new leadership. But there's a lot of other work where we look at intersectional issues or impacts, disparate impacts for our community, and look at the work, the mission of the city, the programs that exist, and the mayor's priorities, and make sure that we're inclusive of all of those voices.
Can you talk about some of those initiatives or programs?
Sure. So, I mean, there's a number of work happening for our youth and our families. We've got economic empowerment initiatives. We're focusing on affordability issues and housing issues, healthcare issues. So, I mean, the big things as we sort of think about what the holidays were like this year versus last year, we're still in a bit of a storm recovery. So those are certainly priorities, but I just came from a wonderful conversation internally around how we work towards financial empowerment across all communities. And that's looking more based on particular focus areas within the city. And we have LGBT community members living everywhere in St. Pete and throughout Pinellas County.
It's so interesting because your title is LGBTQ coordinator, but the work that you're doing really benefits the city as a whole, benefits all of us. It's wonderful that you have a voice for the community, but the work that you're doing is important for everyone. If there's anybody out there that's like, well, where's my liaison? It's like, you're doing work for everyone. So thank you for this work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
When you say LGBTQ people, it also, LGBTQ people run through all kinds of races, genders,
correct,
ages, every socioeconomic factors, like everything, right? And so, like, it's an important work that's just one label that, like, kind of corresponds to so many different other things that people might be, like, identities that people might
be. That's a really good point. It spans all of that.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that there's so much economics tied into what you're doing, right? Because you just mentioned you're looking at affordability, things like that. But also, you know, St. Pete is a destination for people around the country.
Yes.
Particularly the community, the queer community.
Yes.
It's known as being a very welcoming place. We have the events that are well known across the country. So what you're doing has an economic impact as well.
It does. And we can look towards previous economic impact studies that were done, for example, through the growth over the decades of St. Pete Pride. People come and experience those beautiful events and they're like, wow, I like this city. I want to move here. I want to start a business here. And we want that sustainability. And with what we've seen as a changing landscape, with laws from the federal to the state level changing significantly in the last few years, we have to look at what those impacts are on how we do as a municipality, the programs we do, and how we continue to serve community members. Because regardless of how laws change, we still have a job to serve our community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about how this affects being car-free in St. Pete. We noticed that some very colorful bike racks went in.
You noticed. Some people noticed. It might have gone viral.
So it's over at the intersection of
25th Street and Central Avenue.
Tell us a little bit about that project, and then maybe we can talk about how that came to be.
Yeah. So there have been a series of community conversations, both through city council members as well as the mayor, hosting a survey. There was a tremendous amount of community feedback that came through. And this idea came forward. The city folks looked at and researched what it would cost, and bike racks are needed. They can be painted in any color. It's the same cost as the boring black ones. I mean, who knew? So it was something that was remarkably inexpensive to do. It was just a matter of putting the order in. And somebody thought, wow, look at this. We can go 6 and 6, and we can replace the colors that are no longer at the intersection that had been a proud part of our city for a very long time. And so we installed them. There they are. And then, of course, there were a lot of beautiful videos made. We certainly hit the national feed for a whole lot of things. And we've had city employees taking phone calls from folks like, where do you get these? And these are not, you know, unique things. I don't know how many are, you know, within the state of Florida or outside, right. But I don't, it's really thinking creatively when you're presented with a new set of circumstances. Right. Well, what can we do
that's right.
low barriers to entry, that doesn't add a cost, that we need to replace these anyway? And to what you all are doing, we are trying to continue to encourage car-free, and you're on an area of Grand Central where there's a lot of usage.
Yeah.
And I am there, I'm in that area often having lunch, and every time I go, I was just at Pinon Grand, there were three bikes attached to the bike racks, and so they're being used, which is wonderful.
Well, it's cool because it highlights the bikeability of the area.
Yes.
You know.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, as someone who had helped paint that mural on the street, like it's like whenever I walk through or drive through or bike through that area on Central, there's just a sense of loss, and the bike racks are such a beautiful homage to what was said before.
So Mitra is a visual artist, so he was involved with some of the street murals. Tell us a little bit more about that, Sumitra, about what you did and how you were affected by the changes.
I was just asked if I wanted to paint the mural when that proposal came through. A lot of my friends were involved in when this was under Jim Nixon, when he was a LGBTQ liaison. Jim knew a lot of the people like Chad Mize, Andrea Paulus, and all those people who were initiating the mural, because I know them very well. They asked me if I wanted to be a part of it, and I said absolutely. And so I just went and helped paint the mural. And as a visual artist, but also as a queer person, like, of course, losing that mural was kind of like a gut punch. It still doesn't, you know, seeing just like that black tar square,
it's
instead
depressing.
Of the, it kind of is very depressing. But I split my time between here and Chicago, and I was in fact in Chicago when the bike racks were installed, and I was just on my phone. And suddenly this video showed up of the drone video of the bike racks. And it was like a city in Florida, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
that's my city.
I know that intersection.
That's adorable.
You have no idea.
That's fantastic. Like,
I think I may have cried. Maybe.
That's warranted. Yeah. For sure.
I love that reaction. And just the smile on your face as you're retelling that story, that certain events happen, you're like, this is what I was doing in that moment.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't realize you were there at the beginning. So I was on the board of St. Pete Pride at the time that that was installed. And then, not that year, but prior years since then, of course, we've been the board, and I haven't served on that board for a number of years now, but responsible for maintaining it. And so I have painted over the beautiful work that was done initially and helped. So I felt that pain as well when under the darkness of night, we lost our five street murals.
Can we talk a little bit about why that intersection is important to the LGBTQ community?
Sure. Well, it sits at the heart of the Grand Central Business District, which historically had dozens and dozens of LGBTQ-owned businesses. Now, wonderfully, you know, business is all over the city, but that is sort of the birthplace of a community. It's businesses and bars and restaurants, and then, of course, the celebration that became St. Pete Pride was also born in that area. People know that intersection, and so there's a coming home circumstance about what's special about that. Plus, it's just beautiful, the trees, the wide sidewalks. This is the time of year to go. I was just down there having lunch with folks in the business district. It's gorgeous, and it's worth preserving, and it's a great area to explore by foot or on your bicycle. If you haven't driven down Grand Central in a while, there's a lot to do.
There is.
In all of the blocks along Central.
And I remember when the St. Pete Pride Parade was down Central.
Same, yeah.
And that ended, 10 years ago?
2017 would have, I think it would.
Almost there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good estimate, I think. I just really pulled that number out of the back of my head.
Don't quote me, but I think if memory serves, lots of things are a blur after COVID still in my brain.
I personally miss it being on Central, but it's now along Beach Drive.
The Bayshore.
Bayshore Drive.
Bayshore Drive.
Yes, right on the waterfront. Yeah. And I had years when I was in law school at Stetson, more than 1 year, I drove the pickup truck through that version. And so we would post up and stage at the parking lot of Georgie's Alibi. Of course, those parking lots are no longer there. And we'd sort of work our way through the neighborhood and then down into Grand Central. But yes, I can miss those years. It was on a very different scale back then, and it was a very different experience, but it certainly outgrew that as the event grew, and we've worked towards 300,000 and up 400,000 folks that's coming a, in for that weekend and more.
It is still the biggest Pride celebration in Florida.
And it really has rivaled Atlanta, which depending on, I think it's very close to tying or rivaling Atlanta, which would make it the largest in the Southeast.
Yeah. I've heard people say it's the largest in the Southeast.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a badge of honor. And so there are like statistics, and then they sort of look at, well, what was the biggest year? And everybody, you know, I'll let St. Pete Pride carry that mission forward. I don't anymore. But looking at the impact on the city, and we look at how vibrant the city is and the hotel inventory and how the businesses are doing and the economic impact, we continue to see, like, yeah, it's big. It's very big.
Are you thinking, or are there any plans in the works for doing the same kind of treatment that that intersection has elsewhere in the city with the rainbow bike racks or something similar?
The conversations around what we'll do within arts and culture organizations and partners, I think it's a question of what the city may choose to do or support. And then there are a lot of ideas coming from private folks looking at their own initiatives. I don't know of anything specifically happening there, but those discussions are continuing. And I think given how the response has been, it would be great to see those happen in other places with other color combinations, perhaps. We'll see what comes to bear.
You know, it's not just the Pride mural that got erased.
That's right.
Due to the new FDOT law, but like there are other murals that also got erased, and a treatment like this at those other sites would also be like an interesting pattern to emerge.
I think it would be cool to see colors of the African diaspora over by the Woodson, and possibly something colorful by the
USF,
green gold.
Yeah.
And then there was also a mural on 5th and Central that I think it was a women's mural.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was a women's mural, so there could be colors associated with that as
and
well.
And then another 5th. There's a 5th mural as well.
The one in, is it Child's Park?
Yeah, Child's Park.
Yes.
That was a community mural.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in the city that's considering doing something like that?
Yeah, the conversations are continuing. The council has a committee that has ongoing conversations, and I don't know where each of those things are. There was a long list, like there were hundreds of ideas submitted by community members. Where each of those has gone is what I'm continuing to focus on. I've been a little bit focused on Winter Pride because that's a couple weeks away, but I would be happy to share those updates as we know when those are going to actually come to fruition. Or maybe, I don't know, because we were trying to install this and then have a big, like, you know, coming out story. And as they were practicing the installation, somebody caught them and was like, wait, what's happening? And so it did break a little bit earlier. And then we went ahead and we hadn't quite filmed the video, and we got that ready the very next day.
Nice.
But it's easier to install things, of course, when the weather is permitting.
Yeah.
And so it was a gorgeous day. And people were excited. I mean, like, the response was immediate. Like, so the cat was out of the bag, you got to do it.
Right.
So maybe great things will come, and we just, you know, we'll release that in a bigger way the next time.
True. But speaking of Winter Pride, do you have any events that you want to highlight?
The city is a partner in the event, specifically on the 15th, which is the opening, and then on the 22nd. There are a number of other events Winter Pride is hosting that we are not partners on, but it's a really vast variety of options for the beautiful, diverse LGBTQ+ community here. So I will be at those for sure. And then we'll see. It's very hard for me to do my day job and then go to events that run until 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I have to be up pretty early to be at City Hall. But I will probably go by some of those as well. I think the drag race on Central should be interesting. And I think the opening event will get things off to, I have no doubt, the folks in Grand Central and the folks at Winter Pride will do a phenomenal job kicking that thing off and creating a lot of energy for 10 days.
It's been a lot of planning. I know that. I've met some of the people working on it.
It's been
a lot of planning.
So. Yes, and I give kudos to the city team. I had not been to an internal planning meeting for a few years being off the board, but we have a really great team across the city that makes sure these events get done. It's a lot more folks behind the scenes than I think folks realize to shut down streets, make sure that everything just looks seamless. they do a great job, and I'm grateful for that.
Where can people go to make sure they're up to date on all things that are happening at the city or the local LGBTQ community?
So we've got my information, and we have a website. There are events that are city, you know, anything that is connected to the city. We have a calendar on the website for the city of St. Pete. If it's beyond what we partner with, I know we have a few really good community-based calendars that exist. The LGBT Chamber has a calendar that they are populating. There are community-based events at bookstores, just community-based events. I was at a book signing discussion yesterday evening up at our MCC, which is up in Pinellas Park. It used to be in St. Pete, but you know, that was just something that a community member had shared with me. I don't know of a single source where all of those things exist, but I can tell you there are so many wonderful options that you check all those places, you will certainly find those. But I want folks to be aware that I'm certainly available and accessible. My role is to liaise and to connect folks to things that they might need. If we don't have that, or I don't know what the city is doing specific to that, it might be referring folks out to community partners that are doing that work.
Well, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
If there are people in the community who want to reach out to you, how do they reach out to you?
Well, I have an email. It's my first and last name, nathan.broomer@stpete.org. But my phone number, my email is on the city's website. So if you go to the city of St. Pete's website, you put in LGBTQ. The page is there with a number of the accomplishments over the years. We're proud to have 14 years running, received a perfect score from the Human Rights Campaign Municipal Equality Index. I'm working on a revision of our website to get started here pretty soon with our marketing folks as we continue to do the good work, bike racks and other partnerships that are growing. So that will be coming soon, but that is where you will find the specific work that the city is doing in this space.
All right. And Broomer. B-R-U-M-M-E-R.
No, see, no. B-R-U-E.
The umlaut, they broke it down.
Yes.
Yeah, the U and the E.
Yes.
Yes. That's the story Dad told me, and I don't speak German, so since he passed away, I take almost all pronunciations. It's okay. Or just Nathan.
Well, thank you so much for being on Carvey Conversations. This has been a delightful conversation, not just about the bike racks, but about all the wonderful work that you're doing. So thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the work that you're doing for the city of St. Pete.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Also, thank you for your work on the St. Pete Pride, the board of St. Pete Pride, and now also as the LGBTQ coordinator.
Well, I appreciate what you all are doing.
You have been listening to Car Free Conversations. If you want to connect with us, please go to connectpinellas.org and connect Pinellas on all socials.